Jude. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 23 this morning. As you turn there, I want to stress a couple announcements. One, Carl already made, there's going to be a hymn sing on Wednesday night. Kids 5 and under, there will be child care for, but all other kids can just be in here singing. We're singing to the Lord, so I think we can handle it. So it'll be really good. So there will be child care for 5 and under. Everyone else will be in here. It'll be awesome. Also, the Presbytery is next week. We're hosting Presbytery. It's a big meeting. Churches, elders from Montana, Wyoming, and throughout Colorado will be here to do the work of the church. And I need some help on Wednesday evening setting up. So if you're interested in helping me set up for the meetings, they have seven different committees. It's like my personal nightmare. Committees, seven committees. Ugh, I'm on none of them, and it will stay that way. So, but they're going to be meeting, so if I could have some help setting up on Wednesday night, that would be great. If you're interested, just let me know, and we'll figure out a time from there. We also do need food sign up, so if you haven't signed up for food, I am asking you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you, sign up for food, help out. We need all hands on deck for this meeting. So. With that being said, let's go to the Word of God, Jude chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Let's listen to God's Word. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. And Father, I ask you now, to awaken us to your word, to this text. I ask for your Spirit to work in all of our hearts and minds, to build us up in our faith, to help us show mercy, and to honor you. And Father, I pray for your Spirit to work in those who are here who don't know you. Bring them to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this short letter, the short sermon series is already coming close to an end. And here Jude is wrapping up this short letter. And he's beginning to wrap this letter up by issuing several commands. Several commands. We're going to look at all of them. Look at the first command in verses 17 through 19. Let's look at those verses again. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Okay, so what's the first command that Jude here is commanding the followers of Christ, the original recipients of his letter, but us today as well? What is he commanding us to remember? To remember what the apostles predicted. And what is that? What did the apostles predict? What did Jesus even predict? That there will be scoffers. There will be scoffers who follow their ungodly passions. There will be scoffers who mock Jesus. There will be people who mock Christianity, who mock the church, who mock you for living for Christ. There will be scoffers. Remember that. We can't forget that. We can't forget that we live in a world that hates Jesus. And that they will mock us for that. For our love of Jesus. They will scoff at us. They will look down at us. They will do that when we are contending for the faith, contending for the gospel. Paul essentially gives the same warning in 1 Corinthians 1:18. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. The gospel, the cross, Jesus, it's folly. They scoff at that. We can't forget that. We must remember that. And we will deal with this not just for a little time, but until Christ's return, in the last time, as he says there. I remember at my grandmother's funeral, the first graveside service I ever did, and it was a nice, cold January day in New Jersey. And we happened to be on the one hill in New Jersey. Are you familiar with that one hill? And the wind was blowing, it was cold, and I don't remember exactly what I preached or spoke of, other than the gospel, obviously. But I remember talking about how Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, and at that moment, as I talked about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, I made eye contact with my mom's cousin. She's my cousin too, but it's so distant I don't even know how to explain it. So my mom's cousin, and literally just rolled her eyes at me as I said, "Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead." She scoffed at that idea. She scoffed at the idea that Jesus could raise anyone from the dead. She scoffed at Jesus. And notice in verse 19, notice what scoffers will try to do, right? They will try to cause division. So it's not just talking about them out there in the world, the scoffers, but also scoffers that come into the church. They will try to cause division. They will try to hurt the church. They will try to hurt each of us, brothers and sisters in Christ. They will cause division. And in light of the false teaching that Judas talked about overall in this letter, scoffers are what? They're dangerous. We must know that. And we must remember that. There will be scoffers. There will be scoffers. And these scoffers are ungodly. They just care about their ungodly passions. They are devoid of the Holy Spirit. They don't have Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. They don't have a regenerated heart. There will be scoffers. Remember that. Remember, there will be scoffers. Now, what's the second command? Verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." So remember, there will be scoffers, but then also, as you remember that there will be scoffers, as you deal with scoffers, mockers, build yourselves up in the faith. Build yourselves up in Christ. Build yourselves up in the faith. What an important command here. Here he is, he's ending his letter here, and he's telling us to grow in our faith. Build yourselves up. For those of us who love Christ, who are saved, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are to grow. We are to build ourselves up in faith. That means that we should not just be content with listening to a sermon once a week, coming to church when it's convenient for us, or listening to one simple quote from K-Love on the radio. Right? An encouraging quote, nonetheless. We are to desire more. We are to hunger. We are to thirst for the Word of God and get in it and read it and devour it and grow. We are to grow. We are to attend Bible studies, Sunday school. I mean, think about our church. I mean, we're growing, right? Obviously, because there's less room for you all. I have plenty of room. I don't see the problem. All right? And we're dealing with that, folks. The session, we're dealing with that. We're moving forward in this. But here's the thing. We're still a small church, right? But think of all the Bible studies we have. Dan has one Thursday morning for men. Jennifer's doing one for women. Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. Frank is doing one at his house on the second and fourth Sunday. That's a lot. Am I missing one? Sunday school. Frank Todd is doing one on Sunday. So, and everyone other Sunday school teacher. But we have a lot. They should be bustling. We should be going to those. We should be excited about those. Why? Because we can study God's word with other brothers and sisters in Christ and grow in our faith. We should, and that's what he's saying. Build yourselves up in the faith. Grow. I have a library. If you want to continue, if you want to read other things, come to my office with me. Attended, and you can borrow books for a certain amount of time. All right, I am OCD about my library, but you can come and share, and you can read and grow. Okay, right? Because that's important. Okay, and we should worship not just corporately but privately. Why? To grow us in our faith. We should do everything we can to grow us in our faith. Why? Because we will be dealing with scoffers. Let alone the false teachers that Jude has always already talked about. But don't just grow in the faith. What else does Jude say here? Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, to grow you. It is an act of God's grace, our growth in faith. It is. God works. It's by His grace that we grow. Right? So pray for the Spirit to grow us by His grace. Maybe before worship, here we go. Maybe for worship, instead of hanging outside until the last second, until Deanne or Beth is done playing, or until Carl, gets up here and starts speaking, maybe we should be in here praying for ourselves, right? I'm not anti-talking, okay? I'm not anti-being out there. But maybe we should come in here. Instead of after we already started worship, we should prepare and ask the Spirit to, like, grow us through worship, to change our hearts. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit as you do private worship. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help you kill your sin. We'll talk more about that later. But pray for the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit is not reserved just for charismatics. Right? It's true. The Holy Spirit is reserved for all brothers and sisters in Christ, including Presbyterians.
Amen.
Yeah. Whoa, okay, now stop. That's too much. Ooh, I got shivers there. But pray for the Spirit to work. He's our God. He loves us, and by His grace, let's cry out to Him and say, Lord Spirit, help us. Grow us. How do you think we can handle scoffers if we don't have strong faith? How do you think we can handle false teachers if we don't have strong faith? How do you think we can handle just the problems in our own life if we don't have strong faith? And that is what Jude is getting at. Build yourself up in the faith. Strive to grow. And let me be brutally honest. You will not grow if you are not active. Yes, it's God's grace that grows us. Absolutely, guys. I get it. But we must be active. God gave us means of grace. We just come here, hands in the pocket, and listen. That's great. Be more. Do more. Do more. Build yourselves in the faith. That's not it, though. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So keep yourselves in God's love. That's the next command. Keep yourselves in God's love. Now listen, theologically, I'm theologically sound, I believe. At least the elders think I am. I'm not saying that we have to do things in order to stay saved. That's not what he's saying here. You know, keep yourselves in the love of God. He's not saying do something so God will still love you, okay? God loves us by His grace, and through Christ He bought us. We belong to Him. We can't lose that. Praise God for that, right? All right, okay. We don't go charismatic for that. Okay. I thought we'd say hallelujah, something like that, but no, that's okay. What's he saying here? Always remember God's love. Keep yourself in God's love. Always remember God's love. He loves you. He bought you. He loves you, so remember that. Keep yourself in God's love. Every day, remember God's love. Now, that's so simplistic, right? It is, but it's important. So do it. But here's the other tough part of that. Don't only just remember God's love, but show God's love. Show God's love to others. That's the hard part, right? To the scoffers, show God's love. To the false teachers, show God's love. To each other, show God's love. That's keeping yourself in God's love. Remember it. Cherish it. Get excited over it. But then show it to others. And then what? Be patient waiting for God's mercy. Be patient waiting for God's mercy. Show God's love, keep God's love, and be patient as we wait for what? When Jesus will return and make everything new. That's the ultimate sign or experience of God's mercy, isn't it? When we will be glorified with our Savior, with our God forever. Can you imagine that? No more sin. No more politics. Those are equated. I'm telling you. Right? No more sickness. No more death. Just God's mercy glorified there forever and ever. And be patient while we wait for that. What a beautiful moment that will be. And Lord, come quickly, right? Come quickly. But then look, notice the transition there. We are being patient, waiting for God's mercy in verse 21. And then notice it's like a mirror. That just shows us to do something, the same thing. The next command, verse 22, and have mercy on those who doubt. So be patient, waiting for mercy, but in the meantime, as you're waiting for mercy, you be merciful. You be merciful. And who are we to show mercy to? The scoffers. the scoffers. Like everyone, obviously, show mercy to me, I show mercy to you. But in context, show mercy to the scoffers, to those who don't believe. Show mercy. Why? Why should we show mercy to those who don't believe? Why should we show mercy to those who mock us and scoff at us? Why? Because their sin blinds them to the truth. Right? They don't know any better. Their hearts are hardened. They are dead in their sin, like we were before God's grace and the Holy Spirit working in us, making us alive. Sin blinds them. Let's just think about what sin blinds the non-believer to. I came up with a list here. Sin blinds them to the amazing grace of our God. These are things we take for granted as Christians, right? Sin blinds man to the beauty of our Savior. Sin blinds man to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Sin blinds man to the gospel. And that is why we show mercy. Because they don't know any better. Of course they scoff. Of course they mock. Of course my cousin rolled her eyes at me. Of course she did. A man raising another man from the dead, from her point of view, that's crazy. That's what Paul says, foolishness. So we show mercy to them. We show mercy to the lost. And we be like Jesus, right? What did Jesus do as he hung on the cross? And what's going on? People are scoffing at him, right? They're mocking him. They're mocking the Lord. And what does Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew. They're blind by their sin. They don't see what we see now. And we didn't either. We show mercy to the guy at work that makes fun of us because of our faith. We show mercy to the family member who we are just simply dreading having over for Thanksgiving because they will just talk politics and mock our beliefs. We show mercy to the politician who seems to do everything that they can to ruin the church. We show mercy. Why? Verse 23. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. By showing mercy, God will use us to save others from the fire. We could be instruments in the Redeemer's hands to bring the salvation to the lost. Now again, theological ducks in a row, okay? God saves, right? The Father calls sinners out of darkness to salvation. Jesus saves. Jesus shed his blood, right, on the cross, was the perfect sacrifice for our sin, took the wrath of God. Jesus saves. The Holy Spirit saves, right? He applies the salvation that Jesus accomplished on the cross to individual people, right? Regeneration, other big theological terms. God saves. We don't save each other in that sense, right? God saves. But God uses us to bring about the salvation of others. That's called witnessing. That's called being a witness. And that is why we are merciful. We show love to the scoffer and we show mercy to the scoffer in hopes that God will use that to save this person, to show them the love of Christ through us, mere instruments. Mere instruments. Be a witness. Show mercy. Show love, the love of God to the lost. You know, and here's the thing, being a witness is not just saying I'm a Christian. Right? Or I go to church. That's not what Jude's saying here. Jude is saying to be a witness is to get your hands dirty. To roll up your sleeves and get down and dirty. Show mercy. Show love. That's hard. But that's what being a witness is. And that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. I mean, think of that imagery there, that language. To save the lost from the fire. From hell. Wow. I just finished a book by Rosaria Butterfield, and she speaks of her mother throughout the book, and her mother was not a believer, was very hostile, and said some very hurtful things to Rosaria. And then eventually Rosaria's mother got cancer and was on hospice, and there Rosaria is just taking care of her mother you know, being a nurse to her mother, being with her, living in the hospice room with her until the day she died. And in the midst of this, there her mother is still cold and hurtful and says very mean things. Okay? But there, Rosaria was just merciful and loved her mother with God's love, though it was hard. I can imagine. It was hard. And you know what? Just a few days before her death, Rosaria's mother came to know the Lord. God used Rosaria. He used the mercy of this child, Rosaria, and the love of her to minister to her mother, to bring her to faith and repentance. And Rosaria would be the first person to say she did not save her. But God saved her, but used her as an instrument. And that's what we are to do as well. Show love. Show mercy to those who scoff, to those who don't love Christ. Finally, everyone's favorite word, finally. Look at verse 23. The second part of verse 23 now. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The image here is graphic. This is the image. And I'm going to say what the image is, and then I'm going to take a drink of water so it can just sit in. The image here is stained underwear. Stained underwear. Hate stained underwear. Water. That's graphic. But what's he saying? Hate even your stained underwear. Right? You would hate that. Hate sin as much as you would hate your stained underwear. Hate it. Flee from it. You don't want anything to do with it. That's graphic, right? But man, that's powerful. We are to hate our sin. We are to hate the sinful flesh. We're to show mercy and we're to show love and we are to hate sin. That's what he's saying here. We are to hate sin like we hate dirty underwear. We are to hate any sin, murder, lying, jealousy, envy, slander, taking the Lord's name in vain, coveting. We are to hate that sin. We are to flee from that sin. We aren't to think about it. We aren't to be okay with it. We aren't to handle it. We are to flee from it. That is our view of sin. Isn't that interesting how he brings that up? Tim Challey said this, "You are told to flee from sin. Some sins are so strong and so dangerous that you simply cannot mess around with them. Just like you can't fight a bear and expect to win. You can't tangle with these sins and hope to emerge unscathed. Yes, you are to put sin to death, and yes, you can have confidence in the inward work of the Holy Spirit, but you always need to respect the power and deceptiveness of sin, and you always need to acknowledge your weakness and proneness to depravity. For your soul to survive and thrive in this world, you need to learn to flee. Let us hate our sin." Why does he say this? Why does he bring it up now? Oh, because we love our sin. Okay, we won't ever publicly say that, because that wouldn't be Christian of us. But we love our sin. And he says no to that. Hate sin. Hate it. Hate it. Why are we to hate our sin? Because God hates sin. God hates sin, no matter what it is. God is holy, holy, holy. There's nothing sinful or evil about our God. He hates sin because it goes against his very nature. It's contrary to who he is. He hates sin because he created everything, and he created everything all good, and then it fell, and it became sinful. It became tainted. He hates that. He hates sin. And you know how much God hates sin? He hates sin so much that he decided to do something about it. God the Father hates sin so much that he gave Jesus to deal with sin, to conquer sin for us, and to redeem us and redeem creation from it. That's how much he hates it. Think about that. He gave Jesus up because he hates sin that much. We should hate it too. We should hate it too. We are so good to hate other people's sins, right? We hate it when people cuss and take the Lord's name in vain, don't we? We hate that. But we don't seem to mind when we slander others or use our words to hurt others. We hate when people kill and murder, but we don't seem to get upset when we are angry at one another for sometimes usually petty things. We hate adultery, right? We hate when other people commit adultery. That is horrible. Why would someone do that? But we ignore our own marriage. And we don't seem to fight the sins in our marriage that prevent us from being happy as a married couple. Jude is not saying hate other people's sins here, folks. Jude is saying hate your sin. And again, he's not saying hate the sinner, right? He's not saying hate the individual. That's exactly the opposite of what he says. He says show mercy and love to the sinner. But he's saying hate your sin. Hate your sin like you hate stained underwear. Hate it. Hate it. And not only hate your sin, but then love holiness. Love righteousness. Let us hate our sin, but love the fact that when we are in Christ, we are not only saved, we are not only redeemed, but we can be holy. We can be righteous. We can be clothed in Christ's righteousness. We don't have to hate, we can love. Isn't that amazing? That's beautiful. And praise God for that. So hate your sin, but love righteousness. So remember these commands. This letter's not over. We'll come back, Lord willing, next week, and we'll look at the benediction there. But think of these. Remember these commands. Remember what he's saying here. Remember that people will scoff at us. Build yourselves up in faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Be merciful to the lost. And do everything you can in your life to save the lost. And then hate sin. All sin, but hate your sin. And why? Again, why? Why do all this? It's not going to save us, right? If we do these seven commands, I think there's seven. That's not going to save us. No, Jesus saves us. But why do we do this? Why should we want to remember that people will scoff at us? Why will we want to remember and build ourselves in the faith? Why should we keep the love of God? And why should we be merciful to others? And why should we hate our sin? Because God loves us so much, He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. He loves us so much that though we were once the scoffers, we are now the ones being scoffed at. Though we were once just the sinners who were lost, we are now the redeemed sinners who are found. Not because of anything we do, but because of God's love and His grace. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that worth showing mercy to the lost? Isn't that worth being a witness to the lost? Isn't that worth it all? Because we have Jesus? Absolutely it is. So if you're here, you are in Christ, remember these commands of Jude. But remember the love that God has for you. Remember that love. Remember what He sacrificed for you. And then here's the question I ask each week. I try to mix it up and ask it in different ways, but it's the most important question that can be asked. And I don't shy away from it. But here, you're here. Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced the love of God that we're talking about? Have you? Because here's the thing. What do we learn? God hates sin. He hates my sin. He hates your sin. And if you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, He hates your sin. And nothing has been done about your sin yet. But if you repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're saved. Jesus paid the punishment for your sins. It cost you nothing. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if your sins are not repaid, if you don't know the love of God, then repent right now and trust Jesus as your Savior. And experience the beautiful, amazing grace and love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. And Father, help us, for those of us who You have saved, we're in Christ, help us remember as we live our life that there will be scoffers. We will be mocked by the world. We will be persecuted. Help us remember that. But Father, help us also desire to be active in building up our faith, getting in the Word, praying and crying out to You, and praying for the Spirit to work. Help us stay in Your love, remembering Your love every day, but also loving others. Help us show mercy to those who scoff and to those who don't believe. And help us hate our sin. and then clothe ourselves in righteousness. Help us do that. Those are tall orders. We can't do them by ourselves. We need you. We need your grace. Father, I finally ask for anyone here this morning that doesn't know you. I'm sure there are some. And I pray right now that they understand that they are sinners and you hate their sin, like you hate all sin. And help them realize that the only way to be saved from their sin is through Christ. Bring them to faith and repentance in Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.